WNST, Tassel Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are really into quite a sports week here. You know, like you wake up on the day after Easter and you're thinking, all right, Masters, Yankees in town all weekend. Everybody blew the farts off on opening day. And then some of us went to Earth, Wind & Fire or Bruce Springsteen or the Eagles. Some of us wound up on the big screen and had their phone blowing up all weekend. We are going to be doing it this week. We're making good on our Fadley's event for our Maryland Crab Cakes. We had such a good time there on Friday morning. I saw so many friends, old Budweiser friends and Denny Broderick. We took lots of pictures and people won money. I gave these instant lottery scratch-off tickets away all morning at Fadley's. And dude's like, I won $40. I won $10. I paid for my crab cake. So we had a great, great time down at Fadley's. We're going to be doing that again very soon. Thursday, I'm at Pappas. I want to let everybody know we're coming to Bel Air, as Coach Buzz would say. This is my first ever. Look at the shirt. It's brand new. I washed it, but it's brand new. World-famous crab cakes. Four locations now. We're going to be at the new one up in Bel Air. It's all brought to you by our friends at Goodwill and the Maryland Lottery. That's on Thursday from 2 until 5. I got great guests coming up to Bel Air as well. And I'm sure we'll be talking about the Ravens' latest addition. Luke Jones, let me tell you this. My kid has gotten flippant now at the tender age of 38 or whatever the hell he is at this point. He's older than you, which is crazy. No, you're older than him by a minute. But nonetheless, he texts me and says, every time you send a WNST text, brought to you by, of course, Dennis and our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford, that he's waiting for Lamar dealt to the Colts, the Falcons, the Buccaneers, the Dolphins, anything that doesn't even make sense. The Commanders. I don't know. I mean, you were at this macabre press conference, liars luncheon, where they really did do a lot of lying and intimidating a lot of things. We talked about that over the weekend. You're having Easter dinner with your niece and Easter bunny's over and you're eating the chocolate. I hope it's not the hollow kind or that awful milk chocolate. Get some good dark chocolate for Easter. And then, like, you're having, I don't know, man. Like you said, it's never closed. The Ravens, like, you never take a minute off, which is all the more reason you need a backup like me around in case you're, I don't know, halfway through a ham sandwich or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my overall reaction to what happened on Sunday night was shocking. Let's face it. This is not the kind of move the Baltimore Ravens make. It just isn't. This is not Raven-like. And I don't say that to be negative about it. I think you look at this, certainly it's a major boomer bust kind of move when you're signing Odell Beckham Jr., who come September will have not played in an NFL game in 19 months. Certainly putting the idea of signing him aside, doing it for $15 million guaranteed puts the Ravens at a price point with a veteran wide receiver that they haven't been with, you know, they haven't been in this territory going back to acquiring Anquan Boldin in 2010, going back to signing Derek Mason in 2005, relative to what the cap was at that moment in time, and understanding that prices have gone up across the board. This just isn't the kind of move they make. And when you consider the injury risk, when you consider just where they are from a roster building standpoint, where they are with the quarterback, there's certainly risk. There's no question about it. But on the flip side, if Lamar Jackson is going to be your quarterback in 2023, and I'm more convinced now than ever that he is, because you do not make this move if you're trading your quarterback. You do not make this move if you're signing, you know, if you're trading a quarterback and drafting one in the first round, even if Indianapolis would hypothetically come calling, because, well, you saw it. Odell Beckham on Instagram, the very first post he made announcing he was joining the Ravens, his little son's wearing a Lamar Jackson jersey. We saw Lamar Jackson on Instagram make a reference to the Ravens, at least indirectly, for the first time in weeks when he's FaceTiming with Odell Beckham, who is a Baltimore Raven now. So I don't think this necessarily changes anything from a long-term standpoint, but as it pertains to 2023, as I've said to you for quite some time, all the signs continue to point to who's the suitor, you know, who's stepping up, and what are the Ravens doing at quarterback if it's not Lamar in 2023? So I think this really comes back to the Ravens are taking a major swing here. There's no question that it's very un-Raven-like. And look, this deal could be great. Or it could totally blow up, and this could be the worst signing they've made since Earl Thomas, approaching 4 years ago or over 4 years ago at this point. So, but as we've kind of said, if you're laying out the scenario for Lamar Jackson to be here in 2023, you want to try to win, right? Yeah, you want to do something. You don't want to just have him here and, well, Nelson Aguilar is the only signing you've made. So I think this is clearly a major move, whether it works out or not. I do applaud the Ravens on taking a swing at a position where guys like me and lots of fans have complained about it a lot, and it's been their blind spot. So it'll be fascinating to see how this works out. But again, for me, the biggest takeaway of this, beyond the Ravens just doing something they typically don't do at the wide receiver position, it's I just don't know how you look at this anymore and think Lamar Jackson's not going to be here at the very least in 2023, because I don't think the deal makes a lick of sense otherwise.
All right. Well, first things first, where do they get the money from? Right. Everybody asked that question. So I'm going to allow you to at least answer that. So I'll give you like maybe a three-parter. Where do they get the money from? Let's start with that. Secondly, this is a real way to say to everybody on the team and the people in the upper deck and the people who have PSLs, we're trying. Right. Like even if Lamar doesn't show up at OTAs, if he's pissed off, if he goes all summer and whoever is our quarterback, Stetson Bennett, Dennis loves when I say that. So I just like saying Stetson Bennett. So I hopefully, late April, later this month, we'll say Stetson Bennett on day two or day three. Who knows? Right. But this is appeasing Todd Monken. This is appeasing the team that says we're going to try to throw the football. This is a stab at Lamar saying, "Hey, Lamar, come back and play for $32 million and chuck it around and go get yourself paid when you bring, we're in a, we're I'm Steve Bisciotti. I'm a businessman. You're a businessman. You want to do business? $33 million. I've given you weapons. Go win a Super Bowl and then come back and knock on my door and get 250. Flacco did that 10 years ago, and I saw that one of Flacco's people was on my LinkedIn and listed all of Flacco's achievements before he got 100 paid too much, even by his own standard. I think the day he took the money, he's like, probably overpaying me. You know what I mean? Deep down, right? Like, hard to live up to this contract in the future. They're paying me for what I did, not for what I'm going to do. This is if the Ravens are looking to bargain against Lamar to make him look bad if he doesn't want to come play football. For $32 million or $48 million or $133 million guaranteed or wherever it is. But there's still Lamar wants to get paid. This makes Lamar lick his lips a little bit. He's gonna he but dude, this is combustible. All of this. If you talk about turning the heat up a little bit, and Bisciotti's got more money than God. He can do whatever he wants. They can kick cap money down the curb. That DaCosta and Harbaugh are convinced they're not getting fired, even if the team stinks. Even if they have no quarterback and a $15 million wide receiver that's over screaming, "I want the ball 18 times a game," whether he deserves it or not, because all that's going to happen. You just signed up for that. I've seen the act. So I've seen the kids act, and I saw him when he's 23, 24, and tippy toe. I remember being in New Orleans the night he caught that ball. I remember being outside the bar looking in saying, "Caught that ball." Yeah. That was a long, long, long time ago. And first, but this is. Where do they get the money, and what does this mean for Lamar? Because this is Lamar turning the heat up on them, saying, "Pay me if you want me to play," and the Ravens are still going to have to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first question, it's pretty simple, and it's already been reported now that I haven't seen the full details of the contract, but 40 years are going to be used here. And basically what that means is you put in dummy years for accounting purposes. It's a $15 million deal with, I saw Tom Pelissero of NFL Network said a $13.835 million signing bonus, and he's got $1 million, a little over $1 million base salary. So what you do is you put void years in. They're dummy years, and they void at the end of this season. They void at the start of next year's new league year, making Odell Beckham a free agent, assuming you don't do an extension or anything like that. So what it means is it will lower his cap figure. It won't be a gigantic cap figure for 2023, which is what the Ravens need, given where they are and given where they are with Lamar Jackson's situation and still leaving, albeit probably a very small percentage chance of another team trying to sign him to an offer sheet. But, it makes a $15 million number if you just do a straight 1 year contract. It lowers it to, a few million dollars, and it's not as low as 1 or 2 million, but it's much lower than 15. But here's the thing: when you do voidable years, those years void, and then the remaining cap hits on those void years, but for the signing bonus, they do go into next year's cap. So they'll have a dead money hit next year. And that's what they've been doing with a lot of these deals they've signed, albeit 1 year deals that they've been doing, with some of the players that they've re-signed of their own, Nelson Aguilar kind of going down the list of those guys. So you can make it work. You can always make it work with the cap. And, at this point in time, when you do something like this for a $15 million 1 year deal, you're certainly looking at where the Ravens are cap wise. They're going to have to renegotiate and look at some of their other deals with guys like Marlon Humphrey, Mark Andrews, Ronnie Stanley. And there are always ways to redo those deals to create more cap space for the present. Of course, it's always a hidden cost, not even a hidden cost. It's a cost down the road, but that's what you're going to do. And it's something that all teams do at some point in time. It's just the Ravens have dipped into the voidable years mode this year just because of where they are with Lamar Jackson. As far as the message it sends, I mean, I think you covered a lot of it, but I mean, I look at this in two different ways. One, if you are truly looking to move on from Lamar Jackson, I just don't see why you're going to sign Odell Beckham and sign him to a 1 year deal. Two, on the flip side, while certainly the price point that they gave Beckham changed the conversation, because I don't think there was any thought that the Ravens were anywhere close to meeting what his ask had been, which I'd seen a Jets reporter reported a couple weeks ago that he was looking for $15 million per year. So yeah, I think you can get Beckham to sign up amidst some uncertainty with Lamar because you're paying him $15 million. At the same time, I think it was made very clear to him that the plan is for Lamar Jackson to be here, because otherwise you're not going to have your son on your Instagram wearing a Lamar jersey. You're not going to be, you're not going to be FaceTiming with Lamar the way that Lamar even put it on his own Instagram. So I continue to say, and I felt this way before it happened on Sunday night, but I'm more convinced than ever that Lamar Jackson's going to be here this year. Now, how exactly does that look? Does that mean I assume that there's going to be a long-term contract? No, not at all. But I think it does mean Lamar is going to be here, which, again, is going to be here, or what? Is he going to sit out the season? I
Well,
mean,
look,
I.
man, the measurement of his value has been measured here over the last 4 weeks to the rest of the league as far as what they are willing to pay and what they're willing to give in draft picks.
Sure.
And I can assure you, if Joe Burrow were out on the street right now, or even Jalen Hurts, or Patrick Mahomes, certainly, or Josh Allen, there would have been a major rush for any of those guys. I think a guy that runs in the linebackers, wanted more money than anybody, hasn't finished the last 2 seasons, I and is unrepresented. I mean, there's a lot of things, but I still think that the NFLPA will talk about a collusion lawsuit in regard to him, in regard to there being no market for a premier quarterback and a franchise quarterback. No market. There was no market for him. A zero if he comes back here. And I think that's possible. There's a legal part of this where he goes and plays for his $32 million or whatever with this lawsuit out there. And at the end of next year, if he wins a Super Bowl with Odell, that somebody around him, including Odell Beckham, apparently now, who's in his ear, and Ray Lewis, and last week it was, quoting Ray, right? Or quoting Ray, quoting the Bible, right? Or quoting movies. I don't know what's what anymore. Wisdom. No weapon form. But nonetheless, whoever's around Lamar, getting Lamar to the field, to the gym, to the playbook, to Todd Monken, to teammates, into the castle, working, getting better, all of that to try to win a championship under the guise of, I'll come back, and then next year, you or somebody else is going to have to give me $280 million. Yeah, whatever is in Lamar's mind about this contract thing, because I still think all of this, you always say eyewash, not quite eyewash, but they have the same problem they had at the press conference last week, right? I mean, they really do. And this Odell Beckham Jr. thing, like, I don't know how anybody buys in that he's just a cat that's going to catch 90 or 100 balls in this offense here with whatever the quarterback is, with whatever Monken draws up. I don't know what to make of that, because the wide receiver to me, and I know you think it's the most valuable, this and that. I think it's sort of the last piece, though. I think everything else has to happen for the wide receiver to get the ball. And to your point, they've never stepped out like this. This guy's combustible. We know that. I mean, I've seen the act. I've also seen the talent, but I don't know that that's there. I know that everybody in the fan base is like, oh my God, we got Odell, but now we have it made. They still got to get the quarterback back and get him happy. And I don't, that's about a lot of money, and it's about respect and, you know, a lot of things that, not bridges that have been burned, but they're at least sort of smoldering. To some degree, and there's a lot to figure out here. Be shiny toy for Todd Monken.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of unknown, including you're still making assumptions about an offense that we haven't even seen yet. I mean, it's not Greg Roman's offense anymore, so that right off the bat. But you know, a couple things. There's absolutely risk with Odell Beckham. There's no question. And for me, it's not nearly even as much about the personality, because he acquitted himself well and acclimated himself well in Los Angeles and helped the Rams win a Super Bowl. I mean, he was very possibly on his way to be an MVP of that Super Bowl before he tears up his knee. Now, it's a big question. He's had two ACL surgeries over the last 3 years, so there's absolutely that. There's the question of, sure, whenever you're bringing in a wide receiver who wants the football, that's always going to be part of it. But you know, Todd Monken was asked about it during his introductory press conference. Keep in mind, they worked together in Cleveland in 2019, and that didn't go well overall. But Todd Monken had nothing but positive things to say about Beckham at that point. And this was back in mid-February. So, you know, it's not as though the Ravens had him under contract at that point. So, at the very least, I think we make a strong assumption here that Monken vouched for Odell Beckham and said, hey, this, we can absolutely make this work. So you have that. But yeah, the physical part of this, I think you look at Beckham, he's quite a long ways away from where he was at his best, compared to where he is now. And again, the physical questions will be there. The fact that the Ravens gave him $15 million guaranteed with those question marks, again, very un-Raven-like. So you have that part of it. I think it, again, I'll go back to saying I'm fully expecting Lamar Jackson to be their quarterback at this point. I was close to being there before, and now I'm not 100%, because nothing's 100%, but I just don't know how you look at this at this point and think that the Ravens are planning to move on in 2023. Now, the long-term questions that you presented are all still there. For one thing, Beckham's here 1 year, so it's not as though you signed Lamar, a franchise quarterback or a franchise number one wide receiver that's going to be here for 5 years. So you have that, but I think he's going to be here because, to your point, there hasn't been a market. I know a lot of people have talked about the post-draft scenarios. I don't see that. I just don't. I think it's way more difficult to tear up your cap and your roster to be able to accommodate a contract like that after the draft. It's just not something you see very often. You see quarterbacks dealt, but not like top of market kind of guys. So
dude, everything you're saying smacks of some sort of desperation in some way, right? Like usually we can fix that in the draft. We can pick up a free agent. We can do this. We're not into bright, shiny objects. We're not into injured players. We're not into 1 year big number, but there is no long-term on this. I mean, as I'm thinking about it, Harbaugh and DaCosta have jobs for life. They're trying their best to get to 11 or 12 wins this year, even if the quarterback doesn't show up, right? So, like, or if the quarterback shows up and just quite frankly stinks, gets hurt, whatever. I mean, he could still get hurt. They know that going in. But Josina Anderson reporting that Steve Bisciotti got involved in this and that Bisciotti's on the phone with that's not very Raven-like either. I don't think Steve Bisciotti got in on Anquan Boldin or Steve Smith or in the recruitment of Los Hollywood football. All of this is a little I don't know, man. It was just Easter and the Yankees were playing and I was watching John Rahm and, you know, I mean, dreaming about the Eagles and not the Philadelphia Eagles. This is really strange on a Monday morning. It really, really is. It's almost like an April Fool's thing.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I'm shocked. But the one thing I will say, if there's one position I wouldn't really aspire to be Raven-like at. It's wide receiver. So, look, it's the truth. I mean, you laugh, but it's the truth. It's the one position where you'd say, yeah, not so good. Not a good track record. Now, as I already said, this is a boom or bust signing. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's absolutely going to work. If it doesn't work, it could be a disaster. But what's the alternative here? I mean, are you just going to try to draft a receiver again? And let's be clear, I don't think signing Odell Beckham to me doesn't change anything about the draft other than, okay, you can say it's not as dire on paper at wide receiver specifically, but if I'm in the first round where all things being equal, yeah, I'm probably looking for a starting cornerback at this point in time, but I'm still not shying away from the fact that if there's a wide receiver there at 22, or if I trade back a few spots and there's still a wide receiver there wherever I'm picking and I love the guy and I'm over the moon, I still wouldn't hesitate to draft him because Beckham's a one-year deal and you have no idea what he's going to look like. You clearly feel good about it. You clearly have seen him work out and feel some level of confidence because you wouldn't just otherwise give him $15 million, you know, without having some, you know, some conviction about how he's going to perform. But, you know, what you mentioned about Steve Bisciotti, it is fascinating. Again, it's very un-Raven-like, and I think it does speak to how unusual, how uncharted these waters truly are, where the Ravens are with their quarterback and where they are as an organization right now as a result. But at the same time, I've said over and over, even if Lamar's here for 2023 and we're talking about the same exact thing a year from now, in the meantime, you still want to try to win, right? You still want to try to win a Super Bowl, get to a Super Bowl, make a deep playoff run in 2023. And your one move being signing Nelson Agholor certainly wasn't the path to doing that. So you've got to do something that's going to potentially change up your variance, right? You know, this is the kind of move that could work out beautifully, or it could be their worst signing since Earl Thomas. So that's where you look at it and say, okay, Lamar's going to be here. I think for me, as I thought about this more on Sunday night, it kind of feels what they should have done a year ago. New offensive coordinator, you find out more about what this offense looks like with a more, not that you become pass happy, but more balance, more of an emphasis on the passing game that just was not Greg Roman's wheelhouse. So you have that element now with Todd Monken as your offensive coordinator. And you bring in another wide receiver that you're hoping Odell Beckham paired with a healthy Rashad Bateman and whoever else is lining up at wide receiver, Nelson Agholor and maybe a draft pick, Devin Duvernay, whoever, you hope you have a much more representative group there. And then you hope that that leads to one, winning, and two, maybe you get a better picture of what a Lamar Jackson in the second half of his 20s looks like with maybe a little bit less running and some more passing and a more potent passing attack and something, an offense that looks much more formidable from a long-term perspective, understanding that Lamar is not going to continue to be the athlete that he is now or the athlete that he was 3 or 4 years ago. So
Well, there's
that's
also
kind of.
you go to Lamar and say it's a fresh start for
Yeah.
you and also an opportunity, your best chance to win, and you're nobody else wanted you. We love you long time. We still love you more than anybody else. And here's 152 million reasons over the next 3 years to at least shut you up and keep you happy for 3 years and feel like you're playing at market for right now. And that if you go do this, maybe we write in $100 million bonus and you win a Super Bowl and we tack 2 years on at 58 million a year. Like, I don't know. But the creativity has stepped up here to the point where the guy who wanted to sell the team 3 years ago before the plague is now rolling his sleeves up and getting on the phone with wide receivers.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's fascinating in that sense. And again, it's not Raven-like when you're talking about wide receivers, especially wide receivers who, you know, in this price bracket, you know, in this price point and given the injury history, but it really does speak to where they are at where they are with the quarterback right now. And I think it's a risk. But I think it's also a big swing. And at some point in time, you got to take some big swings. You got to take some risks, especially at a position where you've been lacking and you've been lacking for quite some time. So, you know, that's where that part of it I'll applaud while also acknowledging that, yeah, this has the potential to go very south, you know, to go very sour. But again, I think even if you're just talking about Lamar for this year, understanding where he is, understanding where the Ravens are, understanding where the 31 other teams are with Lamar, as far as a lack of interest, given all the circumstances. I've never thought that other teams wouldn't want him at all. It's given the variables that are at work here, the many variables at work here. So, you know, from that standpoint, yeah, you deliver a message to Lamar and say, hey, look, everything that's gone on, we brought you in the guy that apparently, when you see some of the reports on Sunday night, Lamar and Beckham have had conversations at different points about playing together and all that. So bring him in, say, hey, now this gives you more incentive to be here in 2023. By the way, Lamar, probably a good idea for you to not skip all of training camp and show up at the end of August when we have a new offense, when you have a new number one wide receiver or 1A along with, you know, what you hope is a healthy Rashad Bateman. So you're hoping there's some incentive there that maybe that leaves Lamar a little less inclined to skip the entire offseason or skip training camp, which again was all conjecture to begin with, but, you know, making assumptions about where they are at this point. And you say, look, either we can work something out long-term right now, or if you want to play on the tag, that's fine. Go out, be great. We'll be great. We'll try to win. And then we can reconvene about this at the end of next season. And we could try to work something out here. Or Lamar, you know what? Even if you're dead set on your price, and even if we can't work something out here, bringing in Odell Beckham, you've got a better chance now to have a great season this year. And whoever the team is that ultimately you're with long-term, this improves your chances to get to that point where you want to be financially, contractually, and, you know, we'll see how this works this year, and then we'll revisit this. So I think that's kind of what is at work here. But to your point, when the owner is getting involved, and
that's unraven-like.
Well, it's unraven-like. And the other thing, it just speaks to, you know, the finances involved here. I mean, okay, it's a one-year deal, and I get that. And even if Odell Beckham flames out and is a terrible signing, it's not as though that's going to be, you know, like having a quarterback that ends up being awful, right? You know, having a long-term quarterback deal blow up in your face. But it definitely is unusual, but it speaks to how unusual this situation has been. You know, we've been talking about this same general conversation we've had for over 2 years now. So it is unusual, but I think it also does say something about, you know, it seems like the Ravens like Odell Beckham as a person. And Todd Monken, again, vouched for it even during his press conference. You know, almost 2 months ago.
Sugar, right? They know each other through Pro Bowls and this and that. I mean, they know each other.
Look, Monken said this. Look, wide receivers like to get the football. They do. Derek Mason loved to get the football. Anquan Boldin loved to get the football. There were times where Derek Mason got ticked at Joe Flacco on the sideline. That
Michael
happened.
Jackson and Derek Alexander wanted the football.
Yeah, so that's not – I know we have such a stigma for that kind of an attitude sometimes. And are there times where it's fair? Yeah. Are there other times where I think it's really overblown and unfair? Absolutely. Now, I think what's interesting about Beckham is seeing what happened in Cleveland, the fact that Todd Monken clearly still vouched and thought he was worth bringing into this organization, despite the fact that things did not go very well at all in 2019 in Cleveland. But with Beckham, what was the end of his Browns tenure? The big storyline was what? Him and Baker Mayfield not getting along, and clearly there being a rift. But I think as time has passed, I think that story has aged more favorably for Odell Beckham than it did for Baker Mayfield, given how the remainder of his tenure played out in Cleveland and where he is at in his career now. And like I said, Beckham, by most accounts, seemed like that was a really good fit in LA, you know, and again, he helped them win a Super Bowl. He wasn't great in the regular season when he arrived there, but go look at his numbers. He played really well in the postseason until tearing up his knee during the Super Bowl. So, you know, I think there's enough there to think that the Ravens, I mean, clearly they feel good about Odell Beckham, the person, to some degree, because you wouldn't take this kind of a risk on a one-year deal.
And obviously they've taken him out for a test drive. He's run sure. around. They've poked and prodded, and Andy Tucker's. I mean, they have to do all of that, right? Like they wouldn't give him $15 million coming off an injury not playing last year. We beat up Lamar for not playing the last 7 weeks. This guy hasn't played in a year and a half.
Right. I mean, you would have to think. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't some unknown. but you would have to think that you feel really good about where he is physically right now. And that's where you look at this thing and say, okay, the fact that he sat out the 2022 season after tearing his knee up in the Super Bowl the previous year, from a long-term perspective, that might be a good, very well could be a good thing for Beckham, that he really had a chance, and he's now going to be well over a year, like, to your point, a year and a half removed from that ACL surgery. So we're gonna have to see. I mean, again, this is not, I'm not gonna sit here and say that this is a rock solid lock to be a great deal. And on the flip side, I'm not gonna sit here and say that the very substantial risk that's being taken here financially on a 1 year deal. And again, some people will tell you there's no such thing as a bad 1 year deal. It is 15 million guaranteed though. I mean, this isn't a 1 year, 4 million kind of deal. But I would say on that front, I mean, there's risk, but I think there's definitely reward here. And if part of that is to mend your relationship with your franchise quarterback, at least for the short term, and still have a positive, fruitful 2023, even if it means you're reconvening and you're dealing with the same thing a year from now, well, you have a chance to win in the meantime. And maybe that does change everything in some form. It could be that this doesn't work out, and maybe it becomes more, the Ravens become more convinced that, okay, maybe it is time to move on and start fresh. Or Lamar Jackson goes out and plays more like the guy he was a few years back and stays healthy. And Odell Beckham works out. Rashad Bateman stays healthy. Maybe they draft a wide receiver. They fill in some other roster holes that they have in the draft, and you go out and you make a run to the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl. And I think if that happens, we're having a much different tone, a much different conversation about Lamar Jackson and his future with the Baltimore Ravens than we are right now. But everything I just said, those are hypotheticals. We don't really know. So this is absolutely, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, I mean, this is kind of the definition of a boom or bust kind of move. I mean, it really is. I mean, yeah, there are scenarios in the middle there, but if Beckham's healthy and looks like the guy he was a few years ago, then great. The Ravens have at least a 1A kind of wide receiver that you've paired with Rashad Bateman. If not, maybe things are worse then with Lamar as a result, or Beckham's gone, and maybe you're, I don't know, at this point next year you could be even talking about starting over, so to speak. There's a there are quite a few outcomes at work here, but I'll continue to come back to, for me, and I was trending in this direction anyway, and you and I've sparred about this, we've debated about this, but I just look at this, and to me it's more apparent than ever that Lamar is going to be here, at least for this season. After that, who
Okay,
knows?
he's stuck here, but what does that mean about getting him on the field? I mean, that's really the issue now, is a whole new coaching staff, terminology, system, all of that. What are they going to do between now and draft day, or whenever that day is where you send the WNST text that says they've agreed on a 3-year deal for an inordinate amount of money? They're going to
I'm
give
not
him
saying that's
10
going
or
to happen. I never said that's, I'm saying for just for this year. That's all I'm saying. Sorry, go
how do you
ahead.
get him to work? When does he come to work? What does that timeline look like over the next 5 months?
Well, I think he has plenty of motivation to have a great season, right? Unless he's just planning to step away and not play football again. So, look, do I think he's going to be there for OTAs? I don't think Odell Beck, for one thing, I don't know if Odell Beckham will be there for OTAs. I mean, he might, but it's OTAs. In the big picture, relative to the big problem at work here that you're trying to solve in some shape or form, I'm not as concerned about that. I will say this, you want them there for the start of training camp at the very least. And I think that should be a realistic goal. And you're hoping, because Beckham is here, because they FaceTimed on Sunday night, because Beckham is clearly interested in playing Lamar when he posts a picture of his son wearing a Lamar Jackson jersey. And I don't think the Ravens sign him and say, well, Odell, we're not really sure Lamar is going to be here, and that's the picture he's going to post. So I think you're hoping that that's some added incentive for Lamar to be here beyond him wanting to have a great season, because if he has a great season, that increases his chances of getting what he wants, whether it's from the Ravens or from another team. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and look, I'm not saying this makes everything smooth, but I just look at this and say, unless Lamar's just planning to hold out, and to me, he would not have reacted to the Odell Beckham signing the way he did on social media if he truly was done with the Ravens and had no interest in being here anymore.
Well,
so
last
I,
we heard from him, he asked for a trade.
He did. So the fact that he's posting about this tells me once again that was much more negotiating tactic than I'm done with Baltimore, the Ravens are dead to me, trade me. And you know, the difference between asking for a trade and demanding a trade, right? You know, we've seen plenty of players ask for trade. Ray Lewis asked for a trade.
I love how you've
17
couched
years
this
ago.
A week into this. Asking versus demanding. That's good. You're right, though. You're right.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, it's either we've seen guys ask. I mean, Deebo Samuel last offseason in San Francisco asked for a trade from the 49ers. Who does Deebo Samuel play for now?
Well, Chuck Clark came back and played happily. And,
well, Chuck Clark was right, but I mean that's a different story. I mean, the Ravens drafted two safeties, and you know they were going to move on from him anyway. I mean, but the point is, again, someone asked for a trade. There is a distinct difference of asking for it and understanding that that's part of what you're trying to do to make money and get a deal and improve your financial situation, compared to demanding a trade and saying you're dead to me, I will not play for you again, which we see that sometimes, you know, and I'm being a little dramatic in how I describe that, but there's a very distinct difference there. And the fact that Lamar spoke out on social media and posted a picture of him FaceTiming with Odell Beckham, a guy who is a Baltimore Raven now, not a free agent, but a Baltimore Raven agreed to in principle, that would lead you to believe that
Lamar news is coming soon.
That would lead you to believe Lamar Jackson is certainly still open to playing for the Ravens in 2023. Again, I am not at all suggesting that this move means Lamar signing a long-term deal, but I think it does very much change the outlook for 2023, because if the Ravens were going into the training camp with Rashad Bateman, Nelson Aguilar, and unnamed draft pick at wide receiver, then I am asking more so about, okay, when's Lamar showing up? Is he going to play? What's this going to look like? I think you bring in someone like Beckham, who, again, based on some of the reports out there, they had some dialogue about wanting to play together. I think it probably changes Lamar's mind a little bit in terms of some extra incentive, some extra motivation to, you know, not just play this year and play for the Ravens, because, again, who's the other team at this point in time? But it also, I think, puts him in a better state of mind to, you know, be here for all of training camp and put in the work to build that rapport and get ready for the season, and we'll see how it works beyond that. But again, I'll continue to come back to for anyone out there who's doubting if Lamar is going to be here in 2023, I think you got your answer on Sunday night. I'd be very, very surprised if he's not a Baltimore Raven this coming season. After that, who knows?
All right, Luke is here. I thought we were just going to talk baseball and talk about golf and the Eagles concert and give a little concert review and share some pictures and videos. We're going to be at Pappas on Thursday in the afternoon up in Bel Air. Looking forward to that. I'm wearing my Pappas shirt. We'll be up having some Harford County fun. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. We'll be giving away some scratch-offs on Thursday. Rescheduling Fade Lees. We're going to be at Captain Larry's on the 27th, a little later on in the month. Really looking forward to that as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. House in Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.